Blog Talk Radio.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from Geico.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Grace and peace. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Monday, the 31st of July, and we pray all is well with you this evening. We thank you for joining us. If you called in, well, if you listen to us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in at 646-668-2636 if you have questions or comments, or we can share your wisdom and insight. Tonight we have a special guest. We talked about the youth. I was given this information for his organization here locally in Baltimore area. It's the Youth Writers Challenge. The director is Ms. Patricia Johnson Harris, and we're going to be talking to her for this hour and let you know about her program here locally in Baltimore for young writers, and have an upcoming event to celebrate some graduates from her program. So we're going to bring her in later on, but right now we're going to go over scripture and prayer, and we have a couple announcements to upcoming events, and then we're going to get right into the discussion. Amen. Well, we're going to begin tonight with scripture. We're going to read 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. We're going to start at verse 11. That's 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, starting at verse 11. And the Word of God says, "Yours, O Lord, are the greatest, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Are exalted as head above all, riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power, and it is your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, O God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." Lord God, we say thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for salvation, O God. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, his shed blood, God, that healed us, that redeemed us, up back to you, God. We thank you, God, for reconciling us, O God, redeeming us, O God, pulling us out of the pit, O God. Father, we thank you today, God, for men. We thank you for husbands, fathers, and sons, O God. We thank you for those men, O God, in the midst, O God, who stand in the gap for their families, God. For those, O God, that continue to lead in their communities, in the church, and in their homes, Lord God. We thank you, God, for those men, O God, in right now, Lord God, who are in the midst of a struggle, a challenge, O God, a temptation, O God, or a threat that they're standing in for their families today, God. We pray a hedge of protection around them. We pray, God, that you give them the wisdom, the grace, the peace, the strength, O God, to stand in the midst of it all, that they would never give up. They will continue to seek your guidance and your wisdom, O God. Father, we pray tonight for the unbelieving man, O God, the one who does not know Christ as his Lord and Savior, that today something will be said here on this program, or something or someone, God, that one of your saints, God, will be salt and light and speak a word of wisdom and a spirit or word of salvation into their lives. So we're praying today, God, continue to watch over us, continue to strengthen us, bless those that are on the air tonight, those that are listening, those that are listening online, and those that called in. Continue, God, to do your work in us, in me, O God. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And tonight we have a couple of announcements here I want to share. First of all, our ongoing support here locally in the Pasadena, Maryland, locally in the Pasadena, Maryland area, the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church Helping Hands Food Bank. They're open every second and fourth Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. All you have to bring with you is bring a photo ID. They have fresh fruits, vegetables, and meat. Most months they have meat. It's been about a couple months now, and they have never not had any meat. So we encourage you to come out if you need food or if you know anyone that needs food. The church is located at 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. You can also call the church at 410 437-0137. And if you don't live in the Pasadena area, they can also, there's a network of food banks here in Maryland. If you call them, they can definitely refer to one in your neighborhood and your zip code. And if you know anyone in your church, in your community, or in your home, your family, step, in-laws, brothers, sisters, someone you know that's struggling and needs food and grocery in their home, let them know. Connect with them. Share this information with them. Amen. 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 Also, well, we're finally here. We're finally here. We've been talking about it for weeks. The Mount Zion Baptist Church at 2000 East Belvedere Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. The Marriage Ministry presents Marital Love Language, Speaking Your Spouse's Love Language. That's this Saturday, August the 5th. This Saturday, August the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. It's going to be facilitated by Derek and Maria Purcell of the Mount Zion Baptist Church Marriage Ministry Leaders. This is a free event. They invite you to come out. All that we ask is that you call to register in advance so we have enough chairs and enough snacks and enough of everything. So we have a head count of those who will be attending. You can call 443-386-8876. That's 443-386-8876, the Mount Zion Baptist Church. And that's on Saturday, August the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. It's a free event. So we encourage you to reach out there. Also, you can see, if you go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, we have the flyer there posted there. You can find our information there. You can reach out to us there if you have a pen and paper with you. And we'll inbox you back the information. We can call and register. Amen. So we encourage you to come. We encourage you to be part of that. Marriages is important. Marriage is the foundation of community, the foundation of the church, and the foundation of the culture. Because we see the ramifications of fatherlessness and broken marriages and how it affects the next generation. If we honestly look around and see, these are the challenges. And marriage is not easy. Wedding days is one thing. Marriage is a whole other concept. So we pray that you would take time. You take time to wash your car. You take time to put your clothes in the cleaners. You take time to clean up the house. So we said take time to tune up our marriage, strengthen that marriage, because your marriage will outlast all that. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we're going to, again, we have a guest tonight. We have Patricia Johnson Harris, and she's director of Youth Writers Challenge. Good evening, Sister Harris. Can you hear me? How are you this evening?
Yes, yes. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
Amen. No problem. I want to give a quick shout-out to Sister Jacqueline Anderson. She connected us together.
Yes. Thank you, Jackie.
And she said, She's on. She's what she's called. I forgot her nickname already. It just slipped my mind. But she's a go-to woman. She can go to her. You can get somebody. She knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. So I want to give our sister a shout out because she sent me.
You know.
Yes, ma'am. She sent me an email. She sent me a text, and then she called me to make sure I got it all, to make sure I reached out to you. So I knew I had to be obedient. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, let's begin the Youth Writers Challenge.
Yes.
Let's start from the beginning. Share with the audience. Just tell us about it. Who are you? What do you do? And how did you get started?
Oh, sure. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Patricia Johnson Harris. Originally from New York, but I've been here in Maryland for, I guess, 20 years now, so I guess I can call myself a Marylander at this point.
Wait a minute, sister. Wait. I didn't know. Hello. I didn't know you were from New York. What part of New York are you from?
Yes. I was born in Brooklyn in the Flatbush area, but I was raised in the Bronx right off 161st and Grand Concourse. So,
okay, all right. You was okay. I almost was gonna disown you, but you was raised in the Bronx, 161st. Okay, I'm from. Let me see. I ain't gonna tell people where I'm from, but if I say Westchester Avenue and Jackson Avenue, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yes. My brother lived in that area. Yes, and I got a sister over in Edamore Project.
So she's
right across the Beltway. You know, yeah.
Amen.
New York. That's
okay.
You know,
so
I
didn't know that.
When someone's like, I'm from New York too. You know, so the people always say, where are you from? I guess my accent. You know, because I'm still up there. My family is still there. So I still go up to New York quite often, and I guess I never lost the New York accent. So.
That's good.
People
That's a good thing. Don't let them break you. I mean, just because we're here, we still represent. I'm going to ask you this is an important question. We don't get back to the youth writers. I got an important question for you. Yankees and the Giants, right?
Yes, absolutely. Me and my husband battle every year around football season. He has on his purple.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to put it on. You know, so it's pretty interesting in the Harris household around football season. Whenever they're playing the Jets or the Giants, it's a pretty interesting day
here.
That's going to be forever. It's, you know, even when the Yankees come and play the Orioles, it's like, hey, Yankees, you know, so.
Exactly.
You know,
you wear your pinstripes and I go to the game. I do it all the time.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. I wear pinstripes. I go to the game, and I see, you know, it's okay. They haven't really won anything lately, so they have nothing to say. That's all. All
right. Right. I mean, I'm still a Knicks fan, even though, like, the Knicks haven't won in forever. I'm still going to probably
be
a diehard New York Knicks fan. That's just how it is, you know.
Okay.
Just remember them days going down to Madison Square Garden and watching the games. That's, you know, that's going to be with me forever. So, yeah. I may live here, but
right.
I'm still a New Yorker.
All right, that's good. That's good to know. It's okay. See that Jackie Harris. She knows. That's good. That's faithfulness.
Absolutely.
Right there. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay.
Let's go back to the Let's go back to the Youth Writers Challenge. Amen.
I mean that has all a little part to do with the Youth Writers Challenge. You know, so I host. Just to give a little background or detail on as to how we began the nonprofit, how we started the nonprofit or how it became about. But back in 2009, I started the annual book expo for local and independent book authors. What I was seeing was that a lot of independent authors who didn't go through the traditional big publishing companies were having difficulty getting their books in stores. They were having difficulty making sales, and they were just struggling, you know. So it took me about 7 months, you know. I had to pray on the situation and kind of figure out what it is that I can do, if I should be doing anything, and how am I going to go about doing this, you know. I wasn't an author. I read, but numbers is more my thing. I'm an accountant by trade, so I'm really into numbers. You know, I would read on occasion or when I had time to, but here now I felt this burden that I wanted to help this group of people, these authors, but really didn't have the experience of writing a book, you know, or learning all that goes into writing a book and the struggles that people go through when they're writing the book. However, I still felt that on my shoulder. I still felt that passion. I still felt that burden. The more and more I got to speak with authors, a lot of their stories were starting to sound the same, that, you know, they just felt like they wasn't getting anywhere, you know, and they felt that they put all their time and their money, you know, their heart, you know, into writing this book, and it's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. So probably after 7 months or so, I said, you know what, I'm going to try and put on an event and highlight those independent authors. A lot of the book expos that you see in Maryland or around the, you know, in the surrounding areas, those local authors are way in the back, you know. So I wanted to do an event where they were the primary focus, you know, they were the center of attraction, and an event where it was free, it was open to the public, no one had to pay to get in, but a way to say, hey, community, you know, we have some talented, gifted authors right here in your backyard, they're right here, we just need you to come out and meet them, you know, you can pick up a book and get the same effect from a book by a national author, you know, the Terry McMillans, you know, the Hill Harpers or the Stephen Kings. these authors write great books as well. They write all genres of books. So come out and meet them, get to know them, hear their story, pick up their book. So I started the African American Authors and Empowerment Expo to just kind of give these local and independent authors, which were not just Baltimore, but they were coming from D.C. and they were coming from Virginia and Delaware, to have a day that's all about them, you know, about highlighting them in their book, and they're not pushed to the back, but they're actually in the forefront of the event, and they are the event because it's really about giving them the opportunity to meet the people in the community, the people in the community meeting these new authors, because I didn't even realize that there were so many authors here just in Maryland, just in Baltimore. So I had started the expo in 2010, and just acknowledging African-American literature, but keeping the event open to any local independent author. It's a multicultural book expo, but we're just really highlighting and acknowledging African-American authors. So in doing that, going into the third year, what I noticed was that there were a lot of children that were starting to come to the event, and that I would see them kind of gather around this, mostly at the tables that were children authors, authors who had books for children, but they would, you know, walk around and talk to the authors. They would stop. They would pick up the books. And I noticed that they were really engaged in these books and these authors. And I'm like, okay, I have to do something to bring them into this book even as well. You know, I need to do something to incorporate a youth book event some type of way, or a youth challenge some type of way, and kind of give the youth in the community the same opportunity that I'm trying to give the adult authors in the community. And so, again, back on my knees praying, how do I do this? I've never started a nonprofit before. I've never ever really thought about doing that before. I was pretty much supporting my husband, who does live jazz. He has a company called Charm City Jazz, and he does live entertainment in Maryland. He started that company when a lot of the jazz stations kind of went off the air, and really wanted to bring live entertainment back to Baltimore and wanted to keep the local musicians working. And so, you know, I really was enjoying working with him, and really never really thought about doing anything related to authors and books and expos and things like that. But after seeing how engaged those youth was during the expo, that they came out with their family and their friends, but it just kind of triggered something into me that told me at that point right then and there that I needed to incorporate something that we can allow the youth to express themselves through writing as well, you know, whether it was poetry, you know, or it was a short story, whether it was lyrics, you know, just giving them the opportunity to do the same as these authors did, was kind of write their thoughts, their ideas, their vision, what they were feeling, what they were thinking, down on a piece of paper, and giving them a platform to do that. So that's what the Youth Writers Challenge is. It's a community-based organization, and what we do is we're giving the youth a platform to creatively write, to creatively express what they're feeling, what they're thinking, just to kind of do a little something more than what they might be able to do in school in their language arts class. With the Youth Writers Challenge, they can write about what it is they're thinking and what they're feeling, and what it is that we conduct the workshops and we conduct the programs where we're teaching them as they're writing, how to be descriptive when they're writing, different editing process we're teaching them as they're writing, and eventually our goal is for them to become authors themselves. So that's how we began the Youth Writers Challenge, and then what we do is we take it around the city to different places like the Authors Expo or Madame and Mall. We'll do a Youth Writers Challenge, and we'll get some youth to come out. You know, the last one we did was at Madame and Mall, which was perfect. We did it the same month as the month of the uprising that was here, and it was our way of saying we have some talented kids in the city as well. What we saw on TV, that's not who they are. But come out to the mall, you know, and you'll see who they are. And it was just so intriguing to see so many people in the mall who probably was coming through just to go shopping or to purchase something, literally just stop in their tracks and listen to these kids that were on the stage doing poetry. They did short stories. They sang. They danced. And that's what the child is. It's not really like a challenge from one person to the other. It's us challenging them to use their mind, their brilliant, creative mind, to produce something great. And going to different places and having the youth come out and do those things just allows, it gives us the opportunity to let others kind of see the progress that they make in or the potential that they have, you know. So it's been a really great journey since 2012. We started the Youth Writers Challenge, really 13, and it's been just going, and it's a great, great organization that we really want everyone to know about, especially those children who like to write. Even if they want to write, they don't know what to write. They don't realize that they can write until they start writing, and so that's kind of how the Youth Writers Challenge began.
Amen, amen. Well, let me say this. Well, first, I have to give myself a plug here. This is Christian Mass Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And we're talking with, Patricia Johnson Harris, the director of Youth Writers Challenge. And she's sharing some insight and information here for this local young writers program here in Baltimore, Maryland. Well, tell me this. What is who's eligible for the program? Is it open to everyone, anyone?
Yes, the program is open to any youth in the state of Maryland, so it's not just Baltimore City, Baltimore County. We have some kids in the program from Prince George's County. They actually drive all the way down to Baltimore to be a part of the program. Any students from ages 9 to 17, which is typically around grades 4 through 12, can be in the program, boys and girls. It's eligible to be in the program. There's no fees to be a part of the program. We strictly are running on funding and donations at this time, as a nonprofit would do. But what's exciting so far about the program is this year, 2017, was our kickoff, our inaugural, if you will, to the Youth Writers Rock program. And that was a six-month program that actually taught youth how to write and become authors. And that program ended in June, and it was a successful program. So the 10 youth that were in the program at this time, as of August the 1st, are now published authors. They wrote these books themselves. They developed these characters themselves. They put the storylines together, you know. They put their heart and soul into these books, and that's what the Youth Writers Challenge is really about, is allowing them to be creative and doing it with the power of a pen, you know, and putting it down on paper and writing it out. We had 10 this year. God willing, we can have more students next year. The nonprofit does have, we do have some needs, you know. We are running across a few challenges that might affect how many kids we can let in the program at any given time. But for 2017, we were able to help 10 children become authors.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, let me ask you this. You were talking about the writers program. So for my parents out there listening and the folk who have young people in their lives, grandchildren, mentorees, what kind of things when the youth comes to the program, what kind of things will they be participating in? I know you talked about helping them develop their writing skills and developing characters. What are the things that they're participating in the midst of the program?
It was amazing to actually see some of them start the program at the first day. You know, I can honestly say that some of the faces were, you know, frowned, you know, and like, oh, I got to be here on a Saturday, you know, when I could be doing something else, you know. But I would say probably around the second, third at the most session that we had, the kids were so eager to start their writing session when they got to the library. Almost all of them were actually there before the library even opened, you know. So it was really just exciting to see how they were different from the first time that they came to the program, because they really didn't know what to expect when they came to the program. So what I can say is that I definitely saw a transition in them. You know, it really encouraged them to want to write, you know, or want to be, how do you say it? I guess to want to build characters and build a book and build relationships, put into groups, three different groups, so that we could write books for youth that are in school. So we put them in groups, an elementary group, a middle school group, and a high school group. And not that they were necessarily in those grades, but that was the book that they were going to be writing towards. So that's the group, that's the age group that their book was going to be for. And when we did that, just to see these kids learn how to work as a team, you know, they learned how to collaborate with one another. They were throwing ideas at one another. You know, they were actually getting up and supporting the other when they were typing out their story or writing out their story. They learned problem solving. Oh, you know what? We can't say they did that because, but how about we say they did this? You know, so they learned how to problem solve when they came into little issues that didn't fit the book or didn't fit what's happening in the storyline at that given time. So they've learned techniques, they've learned skills that they can now use in their day-to-day life. We've had parents actually say, he's more vocal now than he was before. His teacher told me now that he raises his hand. He now wants to be a part of the class discussion when they're asking questions. You know, he's no longer sitting there just looking around. He's actually participating, you know. So I know some of them development skills came from having to work with the other students in building their story together.
Amen. You know, I'm encouraged by that because, you know, a lot of our children have to, you know, they have to be shown how to get out of their social skill and be part of the, you know, just be involved. You know, a lot of our kids sometimes find themselves, you know, in a shell in themselves, and they don't know how to, you know, socially feel uncomfortable. And this is one of the ways. And these are the tools that we have to bring to this generation. And I think that's important. Amen. And one of the things I do want to share with the listening audience too, that we have to understand. When we're talking about writers, we're talking about poets, we're talking about thinkers, storytellers, and if we looked, if even if we translate this to your young people, because that's one of the things that I was looking over your program and I was preparing to do the interview, I'm saying, as adults, we have to let our young this young generation realize all the things they watch, the movies they watch, the TV shows they watch, those actors, see, we idolize the actors. But the actors, all they're doing is reading someone else's words. They're not.
Absolutely.
They don't make up the words. They don't speak the words. You know, sometimes we see, you know, there's great, what do you call it? There's monologues in movies, and we remember words and scenes and wisdom. And we have to remember, someone wrote that, not the person you see. Someone put those thoughts to paper for the actor to act. And I think and a lot of times we don't see when we don't really take time to explain the process of things, because we know we all, you know, there's stars and movie stars we like and TV shows we like, but those words they're using were written by someone. They're telling
Absolutely.
A story, and someone had
Absolutely.
To write that story, and that's what we have to be, you know, with our young people. Go ahead.
One of the students in the program likes to make music. That's his real passion, is that he loves to make music, and he does. He actually brought some of it, and we asked him to bring it in because we want to encourage them in with their passion in as well. Writing may not be at the top of their list, but they know whatever it is that they're going to do, they're going to need to know how to, one, write, whether it's a contract, whether it's music, you know, whether it's, like you said, lines to a movie or to a play. They're going to know, they need to learn how to write, to descriptively write what it is that they're trying to do. And so he brought some of his music in, and we listened to it, and I'm like, man, Isaiah, this is this is great. And I was like, well, where do you see this going? And he's like, I don't know. I just do it. And I was like, well, you don't want anyone to hear it. You know, maybe someone can sample it on something that they're doing, you know. And he was like, you know, I don't know. You know, I think I do want to learn how to write music too, you know. So what we are trying to do now is actually connect him with some people who can show him how to write music. I'm sure it's a lot different than writing a story, but what this program is also doing is helping him to learn how to speak to other people about his passion and what it is that he wants to do. So he was able to tell us different things about making this music, you know, that at the end of the program, that at the beginning of the program, it was like call and teach just to get him to say three or four words, you know. But by the end of the program, he was able to break it down for us, you know, everything he did to make this recording, how he did it, you know, what he put into it, what it was called. And I think it definitely gave him more encouragement to move towards even trying to write some music, you know, to go along with the beats that he's making, you know. So I do believe that not that the writing piece of it or becoming an author may not be the number one goal or passion of each one of these kids, but I do know that what they did in that program, in that Youth Writers Rock program, will definitely be an asset to whatever it is they're planning to do in the future.
Amen. I agree. Because we have to get in a place, especially, you know, in our communities, we have to be in a place where we're stretching our young people to think outside the box. Unfortunately, a lot of communities are trapped by, it's a syndrome that we used to talk about, used to say a lot. Most people live and die within 10 miles of where they were born. And in this age of the 21st century, we have to expose our kids to more, let their brains open up and then guide them through. And I believe when this program is one that can do that, because through reading, through writing, through expression, we never know how it can be used to take them to someplace else and to think someplace else and be able to tell their story. That's one of the biggest things. Some of the authors I remember reading when I was young, they were telling stories. They were telling their stories. It was fiction. And some of the stuff and even today in the school system, there's required reading of certain material because someone sat down and wrote something and it became a classic in all genres.
So I
agree.
Yeah,
and the next generation has to come. So people complain that they're reading books from 100 years ago because, okay, why are they reading those books from 100 years ago? And what can we do to have that impact? Because, you know, writing a book, I just say this. I'll say this. If we look at it, books that were written have outlasted all other types of media. Even though we're in the high technology now, we got the cloud, but you still can find a book that was written. The Congress has every book that was written is registered. You can go get it. You may not buy it, but it's there and it's part of history and it's going to be, it's a legacy. And you
Absolutely.
Know, because, you know, because if we look at what's, you know, I'll say this. I don't want to get too, but if we look at movies and entertainment, that just changes because people are trying to make money. Because even for some of us at a certain age, we're realizing there ain't a new idea out here because they're rehashing everything. All this stuff that they're redoing, all the stuff that I grew up with, I'm not going to call them ages, but the stuff I grew up with, all they're doing is they're calling it a reboot. Because there's no new imagination and new thought out here. And why?
Absolutely.
Because we don't, there's not, it's not making money. So are we really, what's the word I want to use? Are we catalyzing?
We're
doing a lot of remakes.
A lot of remakes of everything. You know, you look in the movies, everything seems to be, you know, something redone, you know, and it's like you said, like we lost our creative writers that they can't come up with, you know, anything new, you know. So one cool thing about them writing these books is that they're the type of books that, and I won't go too deep into, you know, the books, but the elementary school book is about three friends who had got superpowers. And what they decided to do with these superpowers, you know, was help other people in their community, you know. And I know that with that type of a book, you know, their book with their name on it, you know, it was important that each one of those kids' names be on this book, you know. So three of the kids wrote this elementary book called The Super Adventures of the Red Balloon. This red balloon has some magical powers. And the three of them wrote this book, and that book is eligible to be in schools. It's eligible to be in libraries, where it's eligible, it's going to be online, where if anyone looking for a nice children's book for their child, you know, that shows how to help people, you know, how to give back. Even at a young age, you can still help, you can still give back. That's what that book tells, that's what that book teaches them, that's what that book shows them. And one cool thing about the whole program and the kids that wrote the three books is that anyone walking up to them at this point and say, you know, hello, what's your name? They can say, you know, with pride, with joy, hello, my name is Mackenzie Benjamin and I'm an author. They'll have that for the rest of their lives. Their book will be, like you said, whether it's online or in the library, you know, which will be around forever, hopefully, libraries, or in the school, Mackenzie, Christopher, and Kendall will always be authors. And I think that's golden because it's something that no one will ever be able to take from them.
Amen. That's a legacy. That's what legacy is about. Well, let's go to, for those who are listening, for the fathers out there and the mothers and the grandmothers and aunties, please give your contact information, how they can reach out to you and get in contact with you so we can fill up the next class. And
sure.
And so how folks can reach out to you and get more details about the Youth Writers Challenge.
Absolutely. You can visit our website. Is Youth Writers has an S at the end of it. So it's a youthwriterschallenge.org. They can reach me via email. It's pjohnson@youthwriterschallenge.org. And we also have a web page for the program, which is Youth Writers Rock. So they can go on there and actually see some of the photos of the kids while they're talking or working, rather, while they're working, and a little bit about them, you know, their bios and different things like that. And that website is updated as, you know, kids enroll into the program. The program is geared to go from January to June. We probably will start the next round of registration the end of October. Because we're still, and it's to any of your listeners, if this is okay for me to say, we're looking for a home, you know, for the program. We meet generally every Saturday from January to June, you know, given weather, inclement weather, we always, you know, account for that. But we meet every Saturday, generally from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we did this first session at the Enoch Pratt Library, the Waverly branch, and it worked out perfectly. They opened up their doors to us. It was a perfect, safe location for the kids to be. But we are looking for a home, someplace where the Youth Writers Challenge and the Youth Writers Rock program can actually just be able to say, this is where we're going to be every semester, every session that we have, from January to June. And if we had some place, we might even be able to extend that into two sessions, you know, or have some additional programs. But because we're still looking for a home for the nonprofit, we only can do it in sessions right now. And then right now we've worked it out with the library where we can do from January to June. So that would be the next session would be January of 2018. That will go into June of 2018, and then we'll start accepting applications for that in October, this October of 2017. And again, you can find that information on the website, which is youthwriterschallenge.org, or you can go to the Youth Writers Rock, youthwritersrock.com is that page website. And we're also on Facebook. We got a Youth Writers Rock page on Facebook, has pictures, has videos. If anyone wanted to kind of see what the kids was doing during the sessions, we try to keep a track of what we were doing by taking photos and taking videos of the kids. So there's some information up on that Facebook page as well, Youth Writers Rock on Facebook. So, again, we're looking for a home for the program. We are always open to donations for the program up on the website. The very first thing you see is a button that says donate, you know, and it's to support the kids, right? to support the kids, because when we do our Youth Writers Challenge, we provide all the kids with backpacks full of school supplies so that they'll be prepared for their next the next season of school. And so we usually kick that off sometime at the end of August or September, where we do these school supplies giveaways as part of the Youth Writers Challenge, under the Youth Writers Challenge umbrella.
Amen. Well, you know, get yourself ready, sister, because I'm about to throw something out here, because I know some pastors and elders, deacons, and some brothers in the church who have a fellowship hall, to have a building, and we're looking for a location. I believe the sister has volunteers, she has staff, and this thing can be extended. You have young people in your church who have talents who can have, you might, and for them to have a location I challenge churches to contact the sister, contact the Youth Writers Challenge. She's going to give a phone number as soon as I stop talking again, because if you didn't get it, so you have time to get a pencil and a piece of paper, and give her a call, and we can work it out. Saturday morning, Saturday, whatever, on Saturday, let me say this, because I'm going to go to my pastor, to be honest, and reach out to him here in Anne Arundel County and see what happens. But those who are listening, if your building is open on a Saturday, and this is for something that we are reaching a generation of writers, a generation of storytellers, of screenwriters, of playwrights. This is where it starts. This is where we sow seeds into this ground of young people and young minds to be able to express themselves. You know, because in the beginning of the interview, Sister talked about the uprising here in Baltimore and what was going on. Is that what we want? Is that the only image we want out there? And again, yeah. There's other stories to be told. I'm not going to debate what happened, but there's other stories, there's other things going on. So here in Baltimore locally, I know my show's heard on the internet, but locally in Baltimore, if you, Maryland, if you're in Maryland, your building is available on Saturday, we please ask you to consider, pray about it, reach out to her, see what the schedule is, how you can help. They can have a location where we can bring this opportunity to maybe connect with a young person that might be struggling. Because she mentioned that through the Youth Writers Challenge, the young man was able to go back to school and participate more in the school because he felt more confident and his self-esteem was lifted up. So now when he goes back to school, he's participating in the class. This is all foundation building, and this is what we have to do with our youth. And let me say this thing to the parents, and because sometimes sister on my show, I have to shake up the brothers, because all your sons and all your sons are not going to play football, basketball, or baseball. I understand because right now I call y'all out because y'all take your kids to football, basketball, soccer on Saturdays and Sundays, and all that, and some of them ain't gonna make it, but. They may have something inside them that they could write about. They could be a sports reporter, a sports journalist, but they have to know how to write and express. They could watch a game, then can they write and tell about what they saw? That's a writing skill. I mean, you can be knowledgeable about a sport, but can you write about the sport and tell the story for somebody that wasn't there and tell what happened? I'm just saying. I'm just a guy. I'm just saying. These are the things. This is why we have to read. Amen. Go ahead.
What's interesting, what surprised me, which it shouldn't have, but it did, what surprised me was that there are more boys in this program than girls. There were more boys that signed up for this writing program than young girls, which really, I mean, I was excited about it. You know, I was like, yes, you know, yes, yes, yes. But it was probably two boys to every one girl that was in the program. So I definitely know that, like you said, you know, if they're not into sports or don't want to do the football, don't want to do it, but they want to write. Maybe they want to build game systems, you know, or write the games, the background for the games, the different things like that. Like you said, they still have to understand certain writing techniques. And the instructors that are part of this program are teachers. They're professors at the University of Maryland. They're authors of 5 and 6 books, so they've been through this writing process, you know, before. They're publishers. They know what's good writing and they know what's bad writing, you know. So we were blessed enough to actually pull some high professionals to be a part of this program and commit every Saturday to being there, away from their families, away from their friends, away from their home, to be there to help support these kids in this program. So I definitely have to give thanks to the instructors that actually sold into the program, you know, and made it what it was this year, because without them, I don't know if we could have did it, you know. But these youth now look up to them and was like, man, I can, you're a professor. You know, I think some of their, when they talked about themselves and where they, their journey and what they're doing in their life now, I thought that was very intriguing. The kids thought that was very intriguing as well, you know, that, hey, I got this professor from the University of Maryland sitting right across me, and she's teaching me how to write, you know, and how to write a book and how to be more expressive with what it is that I'm trying to say, you know. So I think that overall experience was very rewarding for them, you know. I think it's hitting them now, actually, what's about to happen now that they saw the book cover and they're getting the graphics of the book and the illustration. I think it's hitting home a little bit because now they can see everything they wrote about on paper. They can physically see it. They can't touch it yet because they won't be able to do that until the graduation gala, but they can see it. And now it's really starting to hit home, like, wow, I wrote this book. You know, I'm an author, and that feels great.
Amen, amen. Well, first, we're going to talk about the gala, but real quick, I want you to give your phone number. So I gave them time to go get a piece of paper and write it down. Give your phone number. They can reach out to you for the churches so we can get some locations for the next session. You say in January of 2018, correct?
Yes, January 2018 to June to 2018. That's a six-month program. My direct number is 443-421-2070. Again, that's 443-421-2070. And my email again is P as in Patricia Johnson at youthwriterschallenge.org.
Amen, amen. Well, you mentioned the gala. Let's talk about the gala, because this is coming up. For all those out there, we would love to have your support. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to buy. I might put a shirt and tie on. I'm not sure yet, because people who know me know I don't necessarily. But I might buy something fancy, like a new pair of, you know, a new T-shirt or something. Anyway, tell us about the gala. Tell us about when it is, where it is, and the donation.
Okay, I am excited about this gala. I was printing out some certificates for the kids, and I think I just got so overwhelmed and started crying, and I'm kind of saying to myself, why are you crying? Like, why are you crying? It's just certificates. You print these things all the time. But I think in looking at them and putting the date August 11th on them, it's kind of like, wow, we did this. You know, it's here. It really happened. Just like the kids seeing the book covers was probably, you know, wow, I did it. Now I'm like, wow, it's here. It's really happening. But the gala is really to congratulate the 6 students that went through the entire 6 months. You know, it wasn't easy at times. Some Saturdays, you know, they got frustrated. You know, some Saturdays they had to get up, take a walk around the library and come back. Some Saturdays they didn't want to get up, you know, but they did. They got up, they got there, and they did what they were supposed to do. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to show them that we realize the sacrifice that they made to bring this book to fruition, and that we want to say, you know, job well done, you know. So the gala is, we're calling it a graduation gala because they're actually going to be the first graduating class of the Youth Writers Rock program. And the gala is on August the 11th, which is a Friday. We're going to be doing it at the Quality Inn, which was formerly called the Best Western, on Belmont Avenue. That is directly next to Martin's West, right off of Security Boulevard. It's an evening event, so it begins at 7 p.m., ends at 10 p.m. We had a nice caterer that's doing the food for us, and we've invited some of the city elected officials to come be a part of this so that they can witness this firsthand, what this program is doing. They could see how unique, how unique the program is. And so Delegate Nick Mosby will be our keynote speaker for the evening. Delegate Bilal Ali will be addressing the kids that evening. Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark will be in attendance. And we've also sent invitations to the president of Morgan State University, as well as the president of the University of Maryland, to also come and be attendance in the graduation gala as well. So that evening, we're going to celebrate the youth that completed the program. Their friends will be there. Their family will be there to support them. The kids have a couple of presentations that they're going to be doing as well. And the night is really just about, like I said, just saying job well done and giving them kudos for making the commitment that they did that's going to actually sow into their lives that one way or another for sticking with this for 6 months, you know, when they could have been doing some other things, you know. So the gala, again, is on August the 11th. We are asking for donations. We really like to give each one of these kids, because we took up a lot of their Saturdays, through June, a bag full of fun things to do, you know. We are looking for donations for movie theater tickets, you know, or tickets to the Chick-fil-A, you know, or something fun that the kids can do, you know, or something nice that the kids could have. We've sent requests to Downtown Locker Room for hats or T-shirts, you know, Under Armour, for any type of Under Armour gear that we can put in these gift bags for these 10 kids, just to kind of give them a nice send-off from the program as well. So we're definitely looking for donations to help fill up their gift bags, you know, and we're looking for anyone who maybe not be able to attend the banquet but want to support it. You can go online and make the donation. The tickets are $25, and if you can't come but you want to bless someone else and have them come instead, the tickets are $25, or even if it can't be a $25, we'll take a $5 donation, you know. So all of that is available on the website, the youthwriterschallenge.org. A ticket purchase or a donation can be made. And if someone does have something they want to put in the kids' gift bag, we can travel to come pick it up, you know. Anyone wanting to make donations, we're definitely available to come pick up anything that they might be willing to give us to just kind of give the youth that are in the graduation gala something really nice to go home with.
Amen, amen. And how many kids are graduating at the gala?
10. There's 10 of them.
10. You have 10. Okay, we have 10. So yes. And their book and the books they actually published, are they're going to be available by then, printed?
They will be available for sale. They will be doing book signings at the gala. So at the end of the evening, they will be signing books. They will be taking photos. So, yes, definitely If you can't make the gala, but you can make it there at 10 o'clock, you know, in the evening, come purchase a book, allow these kids to sign it, take pictures with you. So, yes, each one of the books will be available for sale on August the 11th, the evening of the gala. And then after the gala, all of the books will be available up on the website.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, sister, I appreciate you. Thank you for taking time out. I appreciate the work you're doing. We're gonna get together again after the gala. We're definitely going to come back come January. We're going to try. The two things is our goal that we're going to have a prayer. We're going to have a prayer for the increase of the students involved, hopefully for those who are listening, that they'll get their children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews involved. Also, I want to beseech the churches whose buildings are free and available from January to June of next year on Saturdays to help support this, that we have a place where we can bring the kids together and sow into their lives, bring them out of their shells, help their self-esteem, a hidden talent, a writing and storytelling, and there's so much that we can just open up, especially in this age group from elementary, middle, and high school. And we never know where this might help them and what opportunities will open them up, just being able to express ourselves. Because, as you know, it's funny. It's being able to express yourself in words and written word, you know, I'm going to go there again because, you know, what we celebrate now as expression is not necessarily all good and positive. And but there's other side. There's other stories to be told, but people have to be encouraged to tell the story, and then tell the story in a way where they're communicating. And this is a skill that can be developed and can be used for whatever. And the sky's the limit once we have the communication skill to put stuff out there. Because if we look around the culture today, there's a lot of stuff being put out there. And the only reason it's being put out there because they found a way to communicate it. And then, again, with the way the technology is, there's a lot of hindrances being lifted off if we had the technology. But now I pray we as young people have something truly to say, not something that's just going to be I'm trying to be nice, but just to put out there to be popular and make money. But it has no substance. That's the word I'm looking for. We're looking to have something out there of substance. Okay, so I encourage you again, pastors, elders, deacons, I'm going to reach out to some of my brothers and see what they can do and try and support and help you. Before we go tonight, again, I want to thank you and Sister Jackie Anderson. And before we go, just one more time, give your contact information. And we'll be in touch, and we're gonna do some more, and we're gonna press and pray come January that we're gonna increase. We're gonna have an increase in location and young people.
I thank you so much for this opportunity, Deacon Farr, and just giving me a platform to talk about the program. I also like to thank Jackie Anderson for understanding the importance of the program and doing what she can to find opportunities for us to talk about it. But again, my email address is P, as in Patricia, pjohnson@youthwriterschallenge.org. The website is youthwriterschallenge.org, or the program's page is youthwritersrock.com. And my number is 443-421-2070. It was an absolute pleasure to be on the show with you this evening. I hope we can do it again, like you said, after the gala, because I'm kind of running all over the place right now. But I so appreciate you supporting the program, you putting that out there to others to support the program, because the statement still stands. It takes a village to raise a child, and what we're trying to do is give our youth better opportunities. And so I thank you for that.
Amen, sister. Thank you, and God bless. You've been listening to Issues Christian. We'll talk to you in next week. On Thursday. God bless.
Hey. Hello, Jesus. Jesus, children. Jesus loves you. Jesus, children. Hello, children. Jesus loves you, Baba.